It's where it's at.
Positive listening radio.
Radio like it used to be.
Positive listening radio.
Everybody sing with me.
Positive listening radio.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Positive Listening Radio. This is a brand new show called The Revolution of Love on the Radio. And I am Patty Malloy, a.k.a. Radio Chick. And my co-host is...
the Reverend Felicia Perezader. And today's topic is shadow lives. Whose life are you living anyway?
That's an interesting topic because a lot of people don't really understand what that means. So let's go right into talking about what does it mean to you standing in the shadow?
Well, I would like to say I got this idea for the topic about last week's time, and I was actually exercising like you do, doing Zumba, and I was thinking to myself about my own personal experience having a famous father, having my father being one of the founding members of the group Chicago, and how that has impacted me in positive ways and in ways that were challenging, Patty, growing up and throughout my young adulthood and into adulthood. And I thought, wow, this would be such an important topic because whether you're someone like myself that has a famous parent or someone that just grew up with their dad being a dentist or whatever it is, there is some, I believe, some shadow that affects all of us and that can actually thwart our growth and from really claiming who we are as spiritual beings, as not only human beings, but really developing into our strong divine spiritual selves.
Absolutely. I define it from my end as when you're constantly feeling second to someone, that is my definition of being in someone's shadow, whether it's a sibling who might be more accomplished than the perception of you is, and because a lot of times it is perception. For instance, even for kids, if there's one child that's doing better in school than the other, they're often held to that standard. Why can't you be like your brother or your sister or your cousin? Mm-hmm. And that puts you in a shadow and makes you feel like you're less.
Yes.
Than that other person.
Yes. And I imagine, how would you say that impacted you growing up? Personally speaking, even more so.
Well, growing up, I was a middle child. Mm-hmm. And so often middle children are the ones that are overlooked, and out of the four of us, I have an older sister and then two younger brothers. The eldest of my younger brothers, who has passed on, unfortunately, he was kind of like, it's the joke, your mom always liked you best. Mm-hmm. And so Carl could really do no wrong, and he was really the light of my mom's life. And me, I was always very small in stature. I was tiny. I was so small that they were going to hold me back from first grade because just I was so tiny. They just felt like I wasn't physically big enough to go into first grade, even though I was smart enough. And so I always kind of felt like I was in Carl's shadow because he was the first boy. Mm-hmm. And therefore, he was really the apple of my parents' eye. And so whatever he did was fabulous. And, you know, and here I am bearing my soul to the world. But I would bring home those silly little macaroni, artwork from school. And it would kind of get tossed in the garbage and say, oh, yeah. But then Carl would bring something home and it would go up on the refrigerator. Mm-hmm. And so I always felt kind of second best, and I was always trying to prove, or not prove, but gain approval by doing things the best I could to be the best I could.
Yes.
So.
Mm-hmm.
But what's interesting is, having been in the music business, I know a lot of people, mostly children of famous people, mm-hmm. who have either taken the attitude of embracing being in, because you can either say, I'm in the spotlight with my famous fill in the blank parent, brother, or sister, or you could say, I'm standing in the shadow.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there are positives and negatives. And I know certain people that have embraced it and used it to their, I'm not going to say advantage, but have said, this is not a negative thing. And sometimes it's not, because, you know, if you have a famous last name and you can utilize that to attract an audience to you, and then that audience is truly interested in what you have to say, not because of who your famous relative or friend is, but they're truly interested in you, then that's not such a bad thing. Mm-hmm. But if you're constantly being referred to as so-and-so's son, so-and-so's
exactly.
daughter, that's yeah. where it can be negative.
It is. And, you know, so to share some of my own personal experience with this, you know, Patty, when you and I did that wonderful interview that was aired in January, I was kind of thrown back into remembering how that was for me growing up. Meaning I had some old feelings surface and challenging feelings, things that I didn't like that were coming up, because I knew that perhaps people, and this is just being very honest right now, I knew that, like, being more public, that people would probably go, oh, she's a reverend, but oh, do you know who her dad is? And I was really, I didn't know how to basically align myself with that. And so I remember this story, and this is when I was in eighth grade I went through a school, 7th through 12th, that was a Baptist school. This was in Los Angeles. And you have to understand that from K through 6th, that was when the band was booming. Chicago had another comeback. They were huge. And when I entered this new school in 7th grade and in 8th grade, nobody knew who I was. It was like a whole fresh start for me. And it was the greatest thing, because I wasn't like, oh, do you know who her dad is? Or that's Felicia Perez-Ader, you know, her dad is, you know, the Chicago guy, the da-da-da-da. I was just this kid that was awkward, that had this bizarro perm and like hideous braces and neck gear. And like, and I was just this kid. And it was so great, and I loved it. So there I am. I'm taking a music class, and it's like last period, eighth grade, last semester of that year. And this teacher calls me up one day to her desk right before class starts, and she goes, Felicia, your last name is Perez-Ader. Is your dad, is your uncle the band Chicago? Is he in the band Chicago? And I'm like, actually, and I'm like looking down at my toes, Patty, and I'm like, I know, that's my dad. And it was like everything, like my whole self that I was creating, like individuating away from the monolith that is Chicago. It was like all of a sudden I was now back in it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And it was such, so she goes, oh my gosh. And she's like, I'm a huge fan, which, you know, lovely. That's great. That's wonderful. But she goes, turn around and tell the class. So
oh,
there I am.
No.
And I turn around and I'm like almost in tears. Now, I know this may not sound like a lot to people, but this was mortifying, because again, I had a chance to just be a regular kid,
yeah.
and not be have like, oh, do you know who her dad is? That was always the thing. And it really getting, like I said in the interview that was aired in January, bullied, severely bullied. And now that wasn't happening. And so I wasn't bullied from that point on. It was just, it did change it. It did change it. And
in what way did it change it?
It was that one line sentence was now attached to me. And I felt, and here's the thing, I felt like I was invisible again. Yeah. Invisible again. And I had my piano because I was already playing for many years, and that was my one thing that was mine where I shone. But then at the same time, this feeling of being really invisible was something that would haunt me. So it's funny how there I emerge now, bringing a present day again. This is why I thought it'd be fun to do this topic with you, was because as I began to come into my ministerial self, these were things I had to grapple with in seminary. And then even being on Facebook and people mentioning things about pop, and me just wanting to go, that's wonderful. I'm so glad you're a fan. And you know what? I'm a minister and I'm bringing like this great message into the world. So dig it. It's been a wonderful, like you said, there's the way of embracing it. There's a way, I think, also embracing it to the point of a shadow side where it's really, you're actually identifying with it too much, and then a way of rejecting, which is probably what I have done, rejecting it, and then of finding some peace with it and going, yeah, that's really cool. And this is who I am. And this is what I bring into the world.
Yes.
And so that's what I was saying at the beginning of like really coming to a place of peace and going, yes, this is just a spoke in the wheel of me. And these are all the other aspects too.
Now, here's a question that just popped into my mind. During the time when you felt that you did not want to be necessarily defined as Walt Parizader's daughter, and I understand why, because you I think one of the downsides is wondering who is your friend or who is following your ministry because of you and who is there because of who your dad is. Mm-hmm. And you have to, and so you're kind of constantly guarded. But did you ever think of using a different last name just to kind of make sure that you weren't being used in a sense because of who your dad is?
Certainly no. Actually, no. Not when I was younger, not now. Because, I mean, the thing is most people, he's not recognizable by face typically. And the name even. I mean, you have to be a pretty big fan to know. So I never actually thought of that. It really became a matter of it just not telling people. I mean, this is sort of funny. I dated someone years back. This was in my early 20s. I think I dated him for almost a year, and I never told him. I never said anything. And then about however many months in, I said, oh, by the way. And he's like, whoa, that's an interesting tidbit about you. I mean, because it does change how I grew up. I mean, it's a very select few. I said this to a friend of mine the other night when I was talking about us doing this show, that it's a different existence growing up in the music business.
Right.
And so it did certainly color my life in a way that is really wild.
Did it color your world?
Yes, Patty, it colored my world, right? As time went by. This isn't like the Rev hour here. I mean, it's like you brought in your experiences, and I think it's important to expand it out and so people can relate in their own way to this. I think sometimes, thinking about whether it's like, again, if you didn't have a famous parent, like you're talking about your middle, being a middle child and what that did to you, for you, with you, however you want to put it, or the color of your skin. I was thinking about this last night. That's another way. Instantly, there's there's the projection that someone can put on you right there. Because really what we're kind of talking about are people's projections as well. So the color of someone's skin, where they're raised, socioeconomic bracket that you're raised up in, all of these things, wouldn't you say, I believe these all play a factor as well of being in a shadow and not possibly being seen for who you are.
Absolutely. You know, for me, this just came to mind is also when people find out, you know, people will often ask, what do I do for a living? Mm-hmm. And right now it's radio, and that makes people treat me differently than if I were, you know, a secretary or whatever, you know, fill in the blank that isn't perceived as being a quote unquote glamorous or exciting career. Mm. Going back, I had a question regarding this, the guy that you were dating. When you told him who your dad was, did he treat you any differently?
He didn't treat me any differently. I remember bringing him to a show, and I could tell that, and this is very often the case, when someone would come to a show, be backstage, be in the house watching the show, I could tell, not everybody, but there would often be a realization and a recognition of like, wow, this is immense. This is immense. My goodness. And this was always an interesting thing because depending upon where they were at in their lives, how possibly I would say to get kind of into some psychology, how developed they were, how strong of a sense of self, a sense of who they were, where they were at with that, then they could either handle it better or not.
Right.
So it's, you know, it depended, but I think for him, because he actually was a musician, that was a challenge. It was like, oh, wow. I may not be correct on this, but it felt like there was almost a certain insecurity that came up. And also the thing of like, oh, she's going to expect me to be like her dad, when that's not at all. Like, anyone that knows me deeply knows that that's not true. I think that would happen too. But in that case, I don't think he'd really treated me differently. I think it was what came up for him. You know, and that it seemed to me that he felt, yeah, he felt like a little unnerved, by it. Because it's a very different environment.
Yeah, I noticed that people treat me differently. Not so much, I mean, with radio, yes, but when they find out, for instance, that I worked with Chicago or Kenny Loggins or all these different bands, and that these people are my friends. People that don't quite get, like people that aren't in the business, then they start to treat me differently. Mm. And sometimes it's almost like, oh, well, look at you, la-di-da, who do you think you are kind of thing, like almost a judgment. How should someone that is feeling like they're in the shadow of someone else, whether it's a relative or a friend, what advice would you give them in order to combat or overcome the feelings of feeling that they're in the shadow of someone?
This is such a great question, Patty. Thank you for asking it. Because our destiny and, you know, our life's work on this planet has to begin with us returning and reclaiming that which we really are. I say this all the time. I leave little video vignettes on Facebook that seem possibly very trite, but they're not. They're actually very loaded. And I remind people of their greatness. It's about coming back to one's own greatness. And if you have a belief in a higher power, great. You know, for me, I do. I'm a theist. So it's about connecting with the greatness that is all around me, that being the divine, and that greatness that is, I have a transcendental belief. So it's also within me as well. And that's what I encourage. And I encourage people to do that. Find your greatness. Reconnect with it. Reclaim it. Because I believe at some point we were connected to it. We were. We came in. We come in these spiritual beings. And at different points, different things happen that shift us off the path. It could be these what we've been discussing for the last however many minutes, experiences that thwart us, that sort of hijack us realizing how phenomenal that we are. Like, for me, I got caught up in this illusion. Like, I got caught up in illusion thinking that I was living in the shadow of my dad. And guess what? I wasn't. That was my own belief that I subscribe to. And I'm not putting myself down for it, but at some point I had to emancipate myself from that. And thank God for therapy, for raise therapy and 12 step and all the stuff that I got to do along the way, as well as all the education and training. So I could go, wow. And remember, and there's nothing, you know, there's nothing self-helpy and pithy about this. Like, people go, oh, okay, remember the greatness. No, this is maybe possibly one of the most powerful things that we will do on our journey here, is to remember this basic fundamental fact and reconnecting to this, because from there, everything else will flow, and we will therefore see other people's greatness and be able to enjoy and bask in their greatness in a healthy way, instead of wanting to snipe at each other, instead of being jealous, instead of othering people, and on and on and on, and all the violence that what we're seeing right now in Baltimore. I mean, this is, it sounds like, well, how do you go from there to there? But actually, you do. It's like the Lao Tzu quote: if there is to be peace in the nations, there must be peace in the countries, and down and down and down, there must be peace in the heart. It has to begin with us. It has to begin with us.
Absolutely. And actually, I have a great quote, and the quote is from Marie Williamson, and it says, "There is nothing enlightening about shrinking so small so that other people won't feel insecure about being around you."
Yes.
And sometimes when there is something in our lives that would be considered special, we want to make ourselves smaller so that people don't feel insecure around us. And you should feel proud and feel free to shine. And with that, we have to take a break for some commercials and a quick music break too. Pat Benatar, a very appropriate song for the subject, Shadows of the Night. This is the Radio Chick, Patty Malloy, and the Rev, Felicia Parizader, on Positive Listening Radio, and we will be right back with the Revolution of Love on the radio.
All the pain you've ever felt. Ransom my heart.
You can cry tough, baby.
Welcome back to the Revolution of Love on the radio. This is Patty, the radio chick Malloy, and my co-host is the Rev, Reverend Felicia Parizader. We are called the Rev and Radio Chick.
The topic we have been discussing is shadow lives. Whose life are you living anyway? All about living in someone's shadow, or maybe in the shadow of something, and not really fully claiming who you are and the fact that you are fabulous and great. It's all about coming back into that knowing today.
There are so many different kind of pieces to this pie. Mm-hmm. And one of them that I was reading about today is people that are in the shadow of someone at work. You know, this applies to people who may have, sometimes there is someone at work who is doing a fabulous job and you're constantly being compared to that. And the bottom line is that everyone is unique in their own way. No one is your photocopy, or you're not a photocopy of anyone, nor should you ever expect to be a photocopy of someone. Mm-hmm. And when someone is asking you, why can't you be like fill in the blank, or why can't you be more?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to ask them, what is it within yourself that makes you want me to be like that person? Or why do you feel like I have to be fill in the blank? Whether it's your sibling, or even on sports teams, you know, if there's somebody who really shines, and then people will say, oh, gee, you know, so-and-so made X baskets, why can't you? And it's, well, maybe, you know, Joey made 14 baskets, but I, you know, took the ball away from them 10 times, and that's my strength. And so you have to embrace your own strength and live in your own light. And because anything that lives in the dark doesn't ever really grow. And so in order to grow, you have to step out of the shadow of whatever it is, whether it's, and it's, like you said, some of it is self-created. It's not necessarily something that someone's putting on you, but you feel like, well, oh gosh, my parents just don't appreciate, or my spouse, or my coworkers, or my friends don't appreciate X. Well, you're putting yourself in that shadow, because people, this is a Wayne Dyerism, people treat you the way you teach them to treat you. And so if you accept that premise that why can't you be more like so-and-so, then you're allowing them to put that on you.
Yes. And it's I like what you're talking about here so much, because it's the reminder, that we have choice. There are no victims here. And coming into a place of something that was often said when I was first on my healing path, power is given, never taken. So the coming full, like really going into this, it's like, look it, we all come from some kind of shadow experience. Like we all have had this experience on some level, no matter it, like I said earlier, it could be the socioeconomic bracket that we were raised in, the color of our skin, our sexual orientation, on and on and on. There are so many different things that could impact us, and what can be very harmful is us moving into a place of intense uniqueness, where it goes into a place of being a victim. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Being a victim and forgetting who we are and the gifts that we bring. And that's the real danger zone that I think we can, that people go into, that I know that I myself went into. And shedding that skin and going, look, I am not a victim. At some point, we have to hopefully face the dragon, so to speak, face the shadow, like you said, come out of the shadow and say, okay, how am I going to do this? Which we touched upon a little bit. You asked me that question, but it's, I think that's the moment of surrender. That's when you were speaking just now, I thought of, there's almost a moment of surrender and flow, surrendering and flowing into this and going, you know, I'm not going to be in someone's shadow any longer. I am putting myself there and I'm stepping in into my light, which is perfectly perfect. And I believe sometimes people don't know that. They don't know that their light is enough. They don't. So that's, that surrender moment is very important, because that's where the game can change. That's where everything can shift and one can go, yes, you know, say yes and move into an entirely different kind of life where they're not living someone else's life. Like, whose life are you living anyway? Do you want to live your own life? Do you want
to live someone else? Hey, that should be a game show. Whose life are you living anyway? Starring the Raven Radio Chick.
It's true.
And you know, on that note, there's another side to living in shadow, and that's the negative shadow that people can cast. For instance, I don't want to be like my mother, my father, my brother, somebody that may have not lived up to, you know, a high standard. And there's a lot to be, and there's a lot of people that are living in those negative shadows too.
Yes.
They're afraid they're going to be like that person that didn't achieve what they were expected to achieve. And then again, so we'll touch on that. And then I also want to touch on something very interesting. My youngest son, PJ, who's 17, you could not ask for a more well-rounded human being. He not only is sweet and considerate and kind, and in every single way, and loyal. He is in every honor society you can think of, and he's talented. But he compares himself to his older brother, mm-hmm. who is very handsome, very dynamic. PJ is very shy. He's very reserved, where Johnny is very outgoing and very... just, you know, when he walks into the room, he commands that room. He's Mr. He's the mayor of that room, and everybody turns around, and he's the funny, you know, dark, brooding kind of stranger. And it was very interesting that PJ, even with all of his accomplishments, and I've never met anyone that has ever said anything negative. All his teachers say he's a pleasure to be around, and yet he feels like he's in the shadow. Mm-hmm. Of his brother, who's got this dynamic personality, even though PJ has so much to be proud of, mm-hmm. and so it's interesting how you can perceive that, you know, that you're just not shining as bright, even though you are.
Yes. I mean, this is our journey, isn't it? Like to realize this, like, and it's so. It's so interesting because I have worked with people, met people that people like what you're describing with your son, PJ, that it's a ding, ding, ding. They have all of these incredible things that they bring in, that all these different gifts. And sometimes they don't even know it. And because they're looking at someone else's greatness, they're looking at someone else's light, and that's what I was saying a moment ago, is it's important to realize that we are enough, that I am enough, that you are enough, just as you are, I, we, you, that's completely, that is enough. I mean, I think part of getting really to the core of this is realizing that important fact, that not only am I, we, you enough, but beyond that, there's the greatness that comes in. And identifying with that, not identifying, for me, again, calling in my own example, my personal life experience, I'm a lot like my dad. I look like him. I guess I sound like him.
Yes, you do.
But you know what? I'm not him. Right. I certainly have certain things, and God bless him for that. You know, I'm his daughter and everything. And I've got the kookiness and the this and that, but I have my own special sparkle that I come in with. And that was very hard for me, because I think I did for so long really want to identify with him, even though I had this, imagine that this is, and this, again, let's take this, not just, you know, for me, but I challenge everybody that's listening right now. We tend to like go into our own internal struggle of saying like, we don't want something, yet we keep going towards it. And that's what I would do. It's like, I didn't like this. I didn't want to identify, but yet all of my other actions were sort of like, I was identifying way too much with him. So it's a really big journey. It's kind of like the hero's journey that we see throughout in like scripture, in sacred texts, you know, Jesus going out into the desert and sort of like individuating and becoming his own before he went and did his ministry, and the Buddha and Muhammad, like all of these stories, all of these people went through a serious process of coming into their own power and going, this is who I am, and this is what I bring.
Absolutely.
And it's enough, you know?
Yeah. You know, it's funny, because I was reading something today about breaking out of shadows, and the article said, giving yourself permission to break out of the shadow of someone else or something else, mm-hmm. and stake your claim in your own future requires a plan. You know, that mm-hmm. you have to kind of have a dialogue with yourself and say, here's what I need to do.
Yes.
In order to, you don't just say, I'm walking into the sun. Because if you've had this programming, you know, your brain is like a computer, and if you've had this programming, whether it stems from something way into your childhood or just something recent, like, you know, being in a job where you're being compared or being on a sports team, or and unfortunately it's even prevalent in schools where there's the cool kids, you know, and the kids that are accepted and the kids that aren't, and the kids that aren't kind of shrink away in the shadows, saying, I'm not cool, I'm not pretty, I'm not rich, I'm not smart, whatever. And so you have to have a plan,
yes,
to get out of it.
Yes. And I'm all about plans. And you just reminded me, you remember, Patty, the movie Young Frankenstein, the Mel,
yes,
Brooks film?
Yes.
So do you remember when Gene Wilder character, he hears the violin music playing, and he's ushered down into this room, and it's his grandfather's library.
Yes.
And he sees the book, How I Did It, and he goes, it's my grandfather's library. And he's looking at the book, you know, How I Did It. Well, here is something that I came up with as far as this plan, because you do need a plan. You can't just blindly go in this and go, you know, I'm just going to surrender and, you know, let's just get in touch with the greatness. It is bigger than that. Yes. So there's a few things I'd love to throw out that I found very beneficial for me and for others that I'm working with. And that is, not only in the surrender process, when you're emptying out, there's like a spiritual Roto-Rooter process that goes on. So what are you going to fill back up with? How are you going to help yourself during this time of basically rediscovery? And I believe quiet time is really important. Being still, listening to spirit, listening to your higher self, if that's what you call it, I don't know, listening to God speak, and also speaking to God. That's where prayer comes in. So a meditative practice and a prayer practice are essential. It's important to engage and be serious about this business. If you really want to step out of the shadow and become your true self, become your divine self, then you have to be willing to go all the way. And so one of the ways is to develop some kind of spiritual practice. And it has to work for you. It has to be something that sparkles, that go, ooh, I want to do that. Because it's like going on a diet. You know, if you're not really enthused, you won't do it. You won't keep it up every day. And then the other thing is having some kind of spiritual hobby. You and I talk a lot about having fun. You know, come up with something fun to do. I mentioned Zumba at the beginning of this. Zumba for me it's a form of dance, yes, but it's a way I ground, and it's actually sort of a form of prayer for me. I'm feeding my soul, I'm feeding my spirit, and therefore it is a form of prayer. It's fun. So however that looks to someone, have some kind of spiritual fun, for God's sakes. It's really important because things can get so serious.
No pun intended, for God's sakes, right?
For God's sakes, for the love of all that's holy. And then have some community, you know, find other people that are of a really high, I'm going to say the words like new, it's going to sound really new agey, forgive me, but whatever. High vibration folks, people that are going through this experience and have probably actually already gone through it, so that way they can help you and be that hand that's extending out. And then the last thing is service, being of sacred service, helping others. Hopefully this show, what you and I are doing, this is a form of sacred service. You certainly don't have to do a radio show, but some kind of sacred service where you're being of assistance. So a prayer, a spiritual practice like prayer and meditation, some kind of spiritual fun, a hobby, some community surrounding you so you're really resourced, and sacred service, giving back. So yes. This is a little plan to put in place, and it's just a starter plan, and it's not an exhaustive list. You know, you can add. If things don't, you know, but this is, I believe, a good starting place. It's the how I did it. Young Frankenstein, how I did it.
It's alive. Well, and on the subject of vibration, you and I talked about this. I truly believe that life is like a bunch of tuning forks in a room. And if you ping at a low level, meaning a vibration that is on a negative air thing, then the whole concept in music of tuning forks is each tuning fork is tuned to a specific note, C, D, E, so on and so forth. And if you ping a tuning fork and they're all different tuning forks in the room, only the ones that are tuned to the same exact vibrational level will ping back. And so if you ping at a low negative level, that's what you're going to attract into your life. And if you ping at a high spiritual level, that's what you will attract. You're like a magnet. Mm-hmm. And so vibration that made me think about that. And so you talked about the advice that you give to people, and many people may not know that you are available for spiritual advice, and why don't you give them a little information on how they can reach out to you and contact you for some additional help in those guidance areas.
So my address is 123. No, I'm kidding.
And your phone number is 555-REV.
No, you could certainly friend me on Facebook, Felicia Perez-Ader. I am ordained clergy. I'm a reverend. I do spiritual guidance for people. And I can provide, that one-on-one guidance that you need spiritually speaking. I am not a counselor. But I do act as a spiritual advisor for folks. And am available for that. The best way would be to contact me on Facebook, on the Book of Face, Felicia Perez-Ader.
That's right. Yeah. And you are available for Skype counseling.
Yes. Yeah. Skype is great. Yes. Skype guidance. Skype spiritual guidance.
So that you don't have to be in the same area in order to reach out and reap the benefits that are the wonders of the Reverend Felicia Perez-Ader.
And I do also do energy work. So I work in a different ways dependent upon what I intuit might be most beneficial. So I also do that. It might not always be solely verbal. It can also come in the form of energy healing. And if someone is open to that, of course, it's like I said, it's dependent upon what I intuit and what's best for that person.
And if anyone would like to weigh in on this topic and tell us about your personal experiences, or if you have any questions regarding anything that we've talked about today, you can reach out to us on Facebook. We each have Facebook pages, or you can go to the Positive Listening Radio Facebook page and either put a post or private message us, or you can send me an email at patty@positivelistening.com, and we'll be sure to address as many of your questions and comments as we can on our next show, because, surprise, this is going to be a regular show. The revolution of love on the radio, and we'll be touching on different topics. So if you have a topic that you would like us to talk about, feel free to post it on Facebook or to drop an email and let us know what you'd like to hear us discuss.
Yes. Yes. And I just have to add, this is the charge out that I do when I do my sermons. And that is, isn't it time that you really become you? I want everybody to hear this that's listening. Isn't it time that you're not standing in someone else's shadow, someone else's light, but that you, in fact, claim your own? Isn't it time? Because I think it is. I think it's all of us. It's important for all of us to do this because it raises the vibration on this planet, and this planet is ready for it now. The time is now. The time is now, and this is the love revolution.
Absolutely, and this is the Rev and the Radio Chick, and the perfect song to take it out with will be Chicago, Ain't It Time? And we thank you for tuning in to the Revolution of Love on the Radio with the Rev and the Radio Chick. And we invite your comments again, patty@positivelistening.com, or on Facebook, the Reverend Felicia Parizader, or Patty Malloy, or Positive Listening Radio. And we will talk to you again next time on the Revolutionary of Love on the Radio. Thank you so much for your time. And you want to say anything?
Yes. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Remember to love yourselves. Put the oxygen mask on yourself first. Remember love and be bold in that love. Many blessings.